to everybody. I have a great pleasure to invite you actually to my first podcast ever. And by purpose, I prepared a lot of stuff, a lot of knowledge behind, just I wanted to make it perfect. But I was looking for someone who will be perfect for this kind of event. And I have a pleasure to talk today together with you, just to listen to Howard Gluckman. Hello, Howie.
Hi, how are you? It's wonderful to be with you from South Africa. It's a pleasure and an honor always to talk to you, my friend.
Howie, just shortly, because not everyone knows you, and I would just I would like to tell a lot of things what we just had experienced in the past. But what was your way? Because at the end, how long do we know each other? Do you remember our first meeting?
Sure, I would say probably more than 10 years, maybe 15 years, probably going on there, I think.
Yes.
2007, I think we met, or 2008.
Yes, I remember. I was very much impressed with your lecture about harvesting grafts, bone ring grafts from the palate.
Yes, that was many years ago.
Yes. But at that, from this time, so we developed each of us in different directions. And I am a really big fan of you, what you are doing and what you achieved. And I think a lot of people in Poland, they know you. They know how good surgeon and educator you are. And I am very happy that you accepted to be our speaker for ITI webinar, which will happen on Tuesday, on the 15th of December. Is it correct?
That's correct. Well, it's a pleasure for me, and obviously as an ITI fellow and an ITI lecturer, it's an honor for me to be involved in ITI in Poland. So it's wonderful to be here, and to be here with you especially, Chris. So it's a real pleasure for me to be with you.
It's fantastic. Thank you very much. But Howie, tell us, how is it right now with the pandemic and all of this situation in your country, in your case?
Well, we've certainly been better off than the rest of Europe and America. We've certainly had lower numbers and lower deaths than most countries. I think everybody was expecting Africa to be hit hardest, but we certainly seem to have escaped. I'm not sure why, what the reason is. Is there something with our immune system? Is there something you know, with vaccines or etc.? I don't know what the reason is, but we seem to have got off a little bit lighter. So we're back in lockdown level one, which is pretty much doing most things. I think we're starting to hit a second spike, so there's a chance that we go into a higher lockdown level possibly tomorrow. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But I think we're very lucky, and I think we've got off lighter than most countries in the world.
This is fantastic to hear, because actually everybody is afraid. However, I see the same in Poland, that it goes a little bit in the direction that people got used to it. And especially in the dental business, we don't feel actually too much right now a slowdown as it was during the springtime.
Yes, I think most of us as well in dentistry, things have pretty much got back to normal fairly quickly. You know, there were certain groups of elderly patients that were a little bit more worried, but I think once they realized that we were really taking a lot of precautions, and it was probably safer to come to the dentist than anywhere else. And I think a lot of people were kind of almost they almost were happy to come to the dentist, because they knew it was safe and it was the only outing that they did. And even having surgery, they were, I'm so happy to be here, this is wonderful to be here, because it's the first time I'm coming out of my house even to have surgery. So it was very cool, it was wonderful in that regard.
Yeah, but this is great. But I think that everybody who is running courses is somehow affected. How you deal with your academy, because you run your academy, which is already kind of a worldwide institution. What I see, a lot of people are following you, and you do a lot of researches, a lot of education. How is it?
Well, obviously the online courses have started a little bit, and as you know better than anybody with your PhotoMaster and things like that, how much effort it takes to put to put your topics online. So it's not as easy to do and not as easy to sell, you know, going online is one thing, because there's so much online that people can do. But our academy in South Africa alone is, you know, we haven't done any courses this year, and we'll only start courses next year, which is the main thrust of what we do. But certainly we're going to continue to put stuff online and continue to work online and, move everything to an online situation. But it's a lot of work, as you know.
Yeah, but do you think that this is just a global change in education, that more and more people will follow with online education, or it is just a temporary solution?
I think we'll. I think we're going to kind of swing back a little bit to in-house courses. I think you can't do hands-on training, which I think a lot of people really miss, and I think people really miss the personal interaction that you have. I mean, you know, I know. You know, we both lecture overseas, and one of the best things about it is actually meeting up with friends and spending time. And I think people really enjoy that and miss the human interaction that, you know, I mean, which online just doesn't give you. So I still think that online is going to be a huge factor, and I think we'll kind of see a swing back to the middle, but not totally back to the way we had it before, where most of the stuff was in person. I think we're going to have a mix between the two. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
I think similar, but however, it's when I discuss with friends, and because we are right now with a lot of webinars and these kind of online trainings, and we see two let's say ways. There is a still big group of people who are suffering from this. They miss these interactions, as you say, and they would like just to have these hands-on courses especially. But there is as well a big group of dentists and colleagues who are just happy that they can, without long distance traveling, they can join, they can see, they can observe. So I think it will be like a growing tendency into the online. And however, it will be limited to the, let's say, knowledge which you can learn, which you can witness from the distance. It will be less because people want to touch and feel, and these interactions, especially for not only for attendees but as well as speakers. Because what we did, we created like a studio for webinars, and I am a host for many of my colleagues. And the first feedback which I hear, that it's strange, especially when they are not used to webinars, to talk into the empty lens of the camera, and you don't see the interactions from the audience. So I think there is no escape from this kind of human touch, which is in the regular seminars, in the regular courses.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think I think lecturing to a camera is absolutely, it's heartless. Yeah, and I mean, you know me, and yes, I think you know the way I lecture. You know what I mean? For me, the enjoyment of lecturing is interaction with the crowd, and actually, you know, having that personal connection with people in the crowd is what just makes lecturing so special. So to just give off your information is great, but yeah, it's not the same.
But in the same time, as we will try to entertain you somehow, just to keep you going in a few days. But however, I need to congratulate you, because I see and how you are managing your career as well in this science and researches. And recently you got a professor fellowship, and you are just lecturing in one of the you are associate professor in one of the universities.
Yes, I think that's probably one of the highlights of my career, certainly, to be an adjunct professor at the University of Pennsylvania, which is probably one of the best implant universities in the world. I think it's probably known worldwide by most. So really a huge thing for me, and it's just such an honor to be given that privilege to be part of it. And obviously the other thing is I received my PhD in 2019, actually, from the University of Szeged in Hungary, which also the university which Istvan Urban and Anton Skoulian also got their PhDs from. So it's also an honor for me to do that. And I got my PhD summa cum laude, which is really fantastic. It's just something that's just been absolutely amazing for me.
And I need to say that I'm really proud just to be your friend, and it's amazing just to know such a people like you who have a strong impact, and I'm not afraid to say it loud, because with your approach, with your attitude, and because you are very patient in this what you are doing, and you are patient oriented, and always, when I knew you for the first time, when I saw you, it was just great to be next to you. You were always surrounded by people, because you are such a great personality, and this is always fantastic just to watch the interaction in between the you and people. And in the same time, you are very, very serious in researches and in patient care and in education. That's why I am just very proud and seeing where you are just going with the direction of your career. But tell me, because our focus, our point for this ITI webinar, which we will host soon, is about socket shield and partial extraction therapies. Actually, I would like to know from you when it started, how it happened that suddenly from the ring grafts master and surgeon focused on bone harvesting, you are just suddenly in completely different space.
I think, sure, that's such a great question. You know, I first, Hertzler was in South Africa in 2010 giving a lecture, and he spoke about socket shield in 2010. And I must say, I didn't jump onto it straight away. It took me another 3 years to get involved. And I really started in 2012, 2013 with socket shield. And the crazy thing is that when I start, I'd already, although interestingly enough, I'd already started in 2008 with Root Submergence, which was from Maurice Salama and Tomaro Ishikawa. So I'd been doing that already for a number of years. So the socket shield was the next step, and obviously was part of the partial extraction therapy group. But the crazy, you know, I don't know, I'm very critical of my work, Chris. And, you know, when you photograph your work and you start looking at your work, and I always follow my patients up long term, I try and bring my patients back every year. And I was so frustrated with a lot of the results that I was supposed to be getting good results with. And, you know, using dual zone therapy, using all different types of techniques, you know, I was never getting the results. And when you start taking CBCTs as well post-op, and you start to see no bone over the implants, although we know from Zucchelli that you don't need bone and the soft tissue can be stable because of the adjacent teeth, you know, what happens to that rough surface if a bacteria gets on it? How much peri-implantitis is as a result of exposed implant surfaces? And a lot of the cases that I saw long-term, 7 years, 10 years, they looked absolutely terrible. They collapsed. And for the first time with socket shields, I was getting things where consistently, and I don't mean like 8 out of 10 cases. I mean 10 out of 10 cases.
But was it as some kind of accident that you started doing? So it was a kind of trial and error.
I always liked the concept of it. I really liked the concept, and then when I started doing it, I started finding problems with the technique, you know, which I'll discuss in the lecture on Tuesday, I think.
Yes.
And what the problem was, what I started to realize was that there was really not enough information, and the proof of principle and the second article by Bauma, where they really gave us no parameters to work with. And as a result of that, I made a few mistakes, and you know, we started to work at the mistakes, and then we started to look at our results 1 year, and we started to look at our results at 2 years, and then at 4 years, and that's when we wrote the paper. And by that stage, we'd done a fair number, because even in the short term, the results we were getting were just staggering. There's nothing that compares to socket shield in my hands. I've never been able to do and get results with socket shield that I get with other techniques. Maybe if I add a soft tissue graft, absolutely, I can maybe get a a good result if I'm doing an immediate implant with a soft tissue graft. But the problem is I've got no guarantee of bone over the implant. Whereas with socket shields, in the cases that we showed, there's the bone is always being maintained and we're getting good integration with the implant and good bone stability over there. So we started to look at all the parameters and we started looking, working with research groups with Maurice, myself, Jonathan, and about another 14 other people around the world. And we started pooling our data and we started coming up with interesting trends. And then from that, we started to publish, you know, and we kind of, we just developed slowly but surely. And eventually we've published, I think, 7 papers on Socket Shield.
Yeah. And this is growing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're doing a prospective study now, which we will do a 10-year prospective study. We're following 16 patients, and our 1-year data will be published next year. Early next year, we'll publish our 1-year data, and we've eliminated with all the developments that we've had. We've virtually eliminated all the complications that we showed in our retrospective look, which was a 4-year retrospective, and we had one complication in all the cases. We've got 100% implant success. We've got 100% socket shield success.
This is outstanding number.
Yeah, absolutely. And the great thing is I don't have any failures anymore of socket shields. You know, because of the way we're doing it and because of the changes that we've made, I can't remember the last time. It's years since I've had a failure of a socket shield.
But this is immediately, because I have to just, I will just interrupt you in some moments.
Sure,
because
sure.
When you say it's 100%, it's immediately my next question. Is it just technique sensitive or the proper selection of the cases?
I think both. I think there's no doubt. You know, you have to be trained, and you need to have the right tools, and you need to understand how to do it properly. And our last paper that we published in the International Journal of Aesthetic Dentistry,
I've seen it. Fantastic.
Was absolutely key, because that is the technique that. You know, for me, I think one of the most important things as a teacher, Chris, and you know it as well, because you are such an amazing teacher yourself. As
Thank
a teacher, you.
You
need to understand how to unbundle a technique, how to break a technique down into parts that makes it predictable and reproducible for everybody.
Will you show you some hints and tips on Tuesday?
I'm gonna take you through the entire article, and I'll show you
fantastic. Exactly
how to do it step for step, because I think that is the most important thing. And what I've realized, I use that technique on a daily basis, and by utilizing that technique, it makes the technique that much easier. There's no doubt we are moving more towards guided surgery and guided apical removal, which I'll talk about it as well. And certainly becoming a much, you know, if we do it guided, it's certainly much easier to hit the apex, because that's the most difficult part.
Yes.
But, you know, and then also dynamic navigation with Navident is also a possibility. So those are easier techniques. But, you know, a lot of people, as you know, don't use guided surgery. A lot of people, you know, the majority of the world is not using guided surgery. So we need to have a technique that you can utilize the right tools and make sure that you get the shield prepared in the right way so that you have no complications. And I think that's what that article was about. And I use that technique routinely, and it works supremely well. So I hope it helps other people to do the technique and to have the same results that I'm having. And certainly the feedback I've got so far is super positive. And I think the most important thing is that, you know, whenever I travel around the world, the best thing is that everybody tells me the same thing. I've started doing Socket Shield, and my first question is, well, how have you found it? They found it a little bit difficult, but it's getting easier. And what are your results? Best results I've ever achieved in anything that I've done. And that for me is like, wow.
Honestly, I have to admit that I started, because for the long time it was the same like you, that I first heard from Professor Hurzeler about all of this stuff, and I was watching and observing, including the Roop submerging techniques and all of this stuff, and I was waiting actually, and I was many times I was asked if I am using Socket Shield in this way, how you are using it, and I started based on following you, what you are doing, what you are publishing and what you are posting, I just started to go with the socket shield partial extraction therapy techniques. And actually, I started like 2-3 years ago, and I never had such effects like right now, especially with this kind of prominent roots. So you remember, I recently we were sharing some posts, and I sent you one of the
beautiful
pictures.
Case you posted.
And I hope it will be published soon. But nevertheless, it is just I never seen this kind of option, just that in such an easy way and smart way, you can protect nutrition and avoid bone resorption. I mean bundle bone, this vestibular bone plate. And I was just astonished, and that's why I was so happy when you accepted my invitation. And I can't wait just to see you online. But just to make it short, what would be your recommendation for someone who would like to start with this technique?
I think the most important thing is to read the article on how to do it. If you can't be trained, read that article, the International Journal of Aesthetic Dentistry, and I'm happy to send it to you, Chris, to share with your listeners and to the people at the
Fantastic.
RTI.
Fantastic.
So that they can have that, and I'll send it to you straight after our talk now. And get trained, get the right instruments. That's very, very important, to have the right instruments. And again, we'll talk about the instrumentation in the lecture. And once you've got that, then choose your case correctly. Make sure that you've got the right case. There's certainly ways to do it and ways not to do it, and it's very important that you follow the step-by-step guide that we've created. And if you do that, I have to be honest, you should be able to do it. There's no reason why not. I'll tell you a very funny story. I lecture in at the University of Bangalore in India, mm-hmm. and we were doing a couple of years ago the immediate implant course, and I told them we went through all the guidelines of immediate implants, which we'll talk about again on Tuesday night. And then I showed them at the end, I said, well, this is socket shield, but you can't do it. Needless to say that every one of those students went into the hospital and did socket shields on all their patients. And 1 year later, we came back, and none of these students had been trained in it, and they were doing these things. And we came back a year later, and the results that these guys were getting was absolutely amazing for people that had never done it before. And that always is amazing for me, because it shows that the biology, there's a lot of variability that's acceptable by the body.
Yep.
And the body seems to accept despite things that are not done 100%. And I do not say that you should not do it 100%, because I really believe that you need to do it right. There's no doubt about it. But I think that we are lucky with socket shield that the body is able to adapt, and it because of the fact that we are leaving its own biology behind, it seems to still give the results that you're looking for, despite the fact that you're not creating it 100%. And I think that is why this technique will eventually take over as the primary technique, I believe, for immediate placement in the next 10 years.
So I agree 100% that these kind of techniques, this is, in my opinion, in my case, where I think I am experienced, especially in the immediate implantations, in the aesthetic zone. But for me, adopting this technique and implementation with the correct step-by-step protocol is the foundation of my success, which I have right now with these aesthetic cases. So I need to just thank you very much, because you are one of the person who is doing this promotion of this technique, and you are adopting this, that everybody actually can use it in a good for the good for our patients at the end. Yeah,
absolutely. I think that's the key. The whole concept of patient-based treatment and doing the best for our patients. I mean, do you want to have to give the patient a soft tissue graft? Do you want to extract the tooth and do a delayed placement and then do a contour augmentation in 2 months' time with an exposure after that? What is best? Which do you think the patient would like the most? And if you're doing a technique that gives you the best technique with the least cost and the least invasiveness, there is no doubt that that is the way you want to go. And that is the way that patients want us to go. So I think that is why this technique will ultimately become the main technique. And I think once we have, what Danny Booz is really asking for is the prospect of studies long term, and we will develop that. It's interesting, because everybody calls, and Danny especially calls for long term prospective studies. But if you look at the contour augmentations prospective study, when did that 10-year prospective study come out?
Interesting.
It came out in 2017.
Really?
And that is the only prospective study. There's one prospective study on contour augmentations that was published by Vivian Chapuis and Danny Booz, and that was in 2017. And they had been doing that technique since 1998.
Yeah. Yeah, it says a lot.
I think it's unfair to kind of when you've got your own prospective study for your technique to say, hey, we need to have prospective studies now. That takes time to do prospective studies, but it doesn't mean you can't use the technique because you don't have prospective studies.
Yeah. I'm just speechless when I listen just to all of this knowledge which you have and points which are critical for the success in the future, and how you are oriented that it is proven that it's safe from the other side, and that at the end everybody who will try this technique will be successful, because I had an impression that some of the techniques which we both were implementing in certain point were too difficult sometimes, or too the documentation was not enough to the certain point just to be more or widely accepted by other dentists. But what is happening right now with socket shield and with partial extraction therapy, I am amazed. And honestly, I wish and I hope this wish come true, that when this pandemia will be over, you will accept my invitation and come to Poland, and we will run the course in Poland. What do you think about it?
I think I would be in Poland tomorrow if I had the opportunity to come to Gdansk, to come and visit you, my friend. There is no doubt about it. It would be a pleasure and an honor. I would love nothing more.
So I keep you, and I will just prepare the bed for you.
Perfect.
And you need to come with your lovely wife, and I hope we will have the time next time, not in Cape Town, and not it will be in Poland.
Oh, I'd love that. And Jackie would love that as well, to see you and Ada. It would be absolutely awesome.
Howie, thank you very much for your time, and we will hear each other on Tuesday, so in a few days, and I keep my fingers crossed everything will run perfectly, and thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
I love it. Thank you, Chris. I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday, and thank you so much again for the invitation. It is really an honor and a privilege to be with you, my friend.
Ah, fantastic. I can't wait. We will see on Tuesday. Bye.
Keep well. Bye-bye.
Ciao.